welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. We've been around over a couple decades. We specialize in wealth and capital preservation. A lot of people are kind of getting the clue. I think if you look at what the markets are doing right now, folks, it's interesting. We're seeing some strong activity on the Dow, which is, ironically become the standard bearer of quote unquote how the market's doing. Trump is an interesting man. He's very wise in many ways and not so much in others. However, he may be wiser than we realize sometimes, especially when it comes to things he says that we think are crazy. As a quick example of what I mean, according to individuals, plural, that I know that are literally at probably some of the highest levels of the U.S. military, back when Trump announced globally the pullout of Syria, everyone from the far left to the far right went crazy. This is ridiculous. We're abandoning the Kurds. We're not supporting our allies. What are we doing? Trump's crazy. I even heard people within the military and I'm not talking low ranking type enlisted. I'm talking real, I heard those people saying, this is wrong. This is crazy. Later, months later, I was informed by an individual who's probably one of the most, sincerely, probably in the top dozen most respected combat special operations warriors in the entire history of the U.S. military, who's been in the Oval Office numerous times. He has the highest level of security clearance and overseas security for four-star generals and all this stuff. He said to me, Kevin, Trump is brilliant. He said he did the public announcement of the pullout of Syria, took all the heat, all the hammer, everyone running him down, pulled out thousands of troops. At least he claimed to. But what he did is he replaced our visible foot troops with the invisible special forces. And apparently the way he did it, he drew out or lured exactly the remainder of ISIS that he wanted to take out. He drew them exactly where he wanted them, where we had a high concentration of special ops individuals, special operations operators, and took out some incredibly profound, significant people. People. I guess that's not the right word. Terrorists? Enemies? What do you want to call them? ISIS fighters, I don't know. But he apparently cleaned up. This individual told me they were able to take out an individual who was a bigger hit than when we hit Soleimani, who was the Iranian defense minister, who just happened to be in Iraq right after and also during the attack on our embassy. As that was going down, I received a communication from this individual that said, get ready. Some crazy blank is about to happen. And then he expounded on it basically days before leading up to Soleimani. So he knew it was coming. But he said that Trump took all this global heat of everybody going, what kind of a fool would do that? What are you doing? Trump doesn't know anything. You know, so sometimes I wonder, I don't quite get what makes the man tick. I mentioned in a recent show, when you're young, you believe in nurture. As you get older, you believe in nature. The Bible's crystal clear. God raises a man up and brings a man down. God, people do not step into positions of authority without God's approval, because he is what he is. He's God. And here's the thing. You basically have complete and total sovereignty, folks, from God. And so we look at it and go, why would he do this and why would he do that? Well, I've mentioned in the past, we've had leaders that we deserve and leaders that we need. Trump's the leader we need. Have you ever seen such anger and vitriol ever? He's the new dean of the school that's there to clean it up. You know, he's that guy that has to come in and mop up after absolute reckless chaos. Now, people go, well, Obama wasn't reckless chaos. He was smooth as glass. Well, doesn't the Bible say, even the devil may appear as an angel of light? I will agree. Obama is smooth as glass as he methodically takes this nation apart. He spoke the war cry. He spoke tribalism. He sparked divisiveness in this nation. And now we're finding out about intense, incredible corruption. I mean, folks, the level of corruption that goes right to the White House. And, you know, back in many moons ago, I had the pleasure one day of spending a day on our boat, or no, on a friend's boat with John Boehner when he was Speaker of the House, and, of course, Kathy McMorris Rodgers and some others. And there was only, like, maybe 10 couples, counting me and my wife. And this is when all the Obama scandals were running rampant. And John Boehner said to me, Kevin, you have no clue, as he drank his scotch, which he likes a lot. He said, Kevin, you have no clue. There's so much more going on up there right now that you just, nobody has any clue. And he says, I can't say, because we can't get the evidence to back it up. He said, I have every conservative in the House. Actually, he said every conservative in Congress, which means both sides, Senate and House, working on this. And he said, every investigation ends at the White House steps. So when you're looking now at all this corruption in the FBI, collusion, I mean, folks, you talk about the runs. These people are master corrupt chess players, willing to go to any extent to get their way. You know, they always say the worst person to fight with is someone who has nothing to lose. If you have no moral base, in other words, within yourself, you have no moral floor, no foundational principles, no scruples, and all that matters to you is winning at any cost, what do you have to lose? Nothing. Those people are scary to fight. This is the spiritual slash political battle and war we are in this nation. We have seen a recent manifestation or expression of that through this COVID rubbish. You know, I love it. I'm getting all these emails now from people that are I really respect. Medical professionals, people that just have a massive, amazing track record and connections. And I'm telling you, whoo, we blew it. Obama, my friends, that guy, he caused a beginning of an end. And Trump literally jumped into the swamp, as he calls it, the pit or the abyss. Is that what the capital of the United States should look like? No. Problem being, money, 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 buckaroos and power. Do you know, a lot of people are like, the devil this, the devil that. Okay, if you study the word, you find out there's one devil, one Satan, one Lucifer. The most amazing, powerful, beautiful, incredible creation of God. But there's one greater, his son, who is God. But Lucifer was so great, was, past tense, because he is going to be a was once, one day. He's so great that he literally thought he could ascend to the throne of God. Now, you and I can't even dream of that. We don't even know what that is. That's how profound he is. And then the Bible gives us tidbits of information, glimpses into various levels of spiritual hierarchy underneath this Lucifer, Satan, devil character. According to some Jewish scholars I was reading, there's 11 plus Lucifer, 12 levels of spiritual authority that have been disclosed in the Bible. The Jews have some other scriptures, apocryphal and pseudographia and things like that, that disclose more like this thing called the Watchers. The 12 Watchers that were sent by God to oversee Adam and Eve once they left the garden. You might think, oh goodness, that's just rubbish. You haven't stopped to think. The first man and the first woman in existence. And by the way, if you're one to say, well, if Adam wouldn't have sinned and Eve wouldn't have sinned, we'd be in this, like, utopia. You have really a misconception of your own humanity. Because free will is the catalyst behind their fall. Very interesting. I covered that on Friday. The whole thought process behind, you know, Eve, well, Lucifer saying, well, didn't he said you can't eat of anything in the garden? And Eve's like, no, we can eat of anything. We just can't eat. We can't even touch that tree or we'll die. And Lucifer's like, yeah, you really think that's true? No. And then when they fall, Adam's like, it's that woman you gave me. And then the woman's like, it's that devil that came after me. And, you know, you've got this whole vicious cycle of a lack of personal responsibility. So these people fall, they leave the garden. Now what happens? I mean, really, think about it. If you don't think God knew we'd fall, why did the Garden of Eden have a finite border? Why was there an entire globe awaiting us all? And you might go, well, you know, we don't know how big the Garden of Eden was. It may have been a supernatural place. I mean, who knows? But I don't want to go down that road. God knew. That's part of the whole free will experiment, if you will. Okay? So you've got the Watchers. So what I was getting at is once Adam and Eve leave the garden, then what? What do they know? they've, according to Pseudographia, they've been eating these incredible figs that give them full and complete nutrition for a long time. Adam's in charge of tending to the garden, and out they go, according to the Book of Adam and Eve, which is translated a little bit funky, but it is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, folks, and that matters. But the point being, once they're out, they have all these threats. Do they know what falling is? Do they know what a cliff is? Do they know what poison is? What kind of food was on the earth? Was it all good? You know, I mean, you've got a lot of potential problems going on here. Someone needs to protect them. Someone needs to teach them. I believe the Garden of Eden was the adult womb for the first creation. So you got the watchers God gives them, and it goes through in the Book of Adam and Eve, and it breaks down what each of the watchers taught them. And then you've got, you know, the cherubim protecting the garden, and you can go down all the different archangels, and there's all kinds of things. So there's 12 levels of hierarchy. And where am I going with this? Okay, people say the devil this, the devil's there, the devil did it. No. If the devil shows up to visit you, you're done. You and I, done. Unless we have one heck of a spiritual bubble of protection around us. Where would the devil hang out? Maybe around the White House sometimes. Maybe around the King of Saudi Arabia. Maybe around Gaddafi. Maybe around ISIS. Who knows? The devil himself? We've heard of possession by demons. Can you imagine the influence of the devil himself? Power. I mean, there is so much power. You know, in the Bible, it's crystal clear. Not even the archangels, the second most powerful entities behind Lucifer, not even they would disobey him, or not disobey, disrespect. He was able to hold three of them coming to Daniel and so on and so forth. He's got that kind of power. My point being, if even the highest ranking hierarchy of angelic supernatural beings won't disrespect him, we shouldn't either. We need to respect his power. When we stand back and in the name of this and the name of that, now the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, there's power, all the power. He hates it. But I'm telling you what, that power is not in us. There's a difference between the problem and the solution. If we focus on spiritual, being spiritually fed, we can do that all day long. If we think that we're engaging in spiritual battle, which, you know, we're constantly in spiritual battle, but if you think it's going to be like a Hollywood movie where you're going to go out, you think somehow, you know, you watch these movies, and I know of some, I mean, I've done, a fair amount of martial arts. I say a fair amount because I know people, my main instructor was, you know, 7th degree black belt in karate, 6th or something in taekwondo, 5th in hapkido and judo, and on you go. I mean, just beyond ridiculous. I'm nowhere near that. But the point being, when you know someone of that caliber, and I also know people in special operations, average Joe can't pull it off. So if you're average Joe and you think you're going to go run in and go into spiritual battle with the devil, you can give it up. Are there people out there equipped for it? Yeah. And I believe, you know, the nature-nurture thing. I mean, nature may have made people that are made for that spiritual battle. Maybe they know how to channel Christ and his power and his blood. I don't know, because that's not my gift. My gift is, you know, maybe teaching or something like that. So we have to respect the whole situation. We have to realize the devil might be in some of the highest places, obviously, himself. And that's the kind of pressure that's coming down on the White House and whatnot. You get the Obamas of the world who are, you know, like it or not, they're plugged into the Islamic system. I have people that say, oh, Kevin, you are crazy to say some of the stuff you say on the radio. I can't believe you say it. Well, sorry. I mean, I got a little case of truth-telling disease, I guess. But it is what it is. You know, I understand the threats of Islam and the dangers thereof that lie in. It's a mean, angry, tough religion. When I was in down in the Australia, New Zealand, Fiji area, I ran in to some people that were very influenced by certain perceptions of the United States of America, and they see exactly what's going on in this country. They see the dark side taking us on. They understand the battle. They have a level of hatred and vitriol. They also see the influx of the Islamic, they understood more the Islamic influence, if you will, of Obama. They get it. But they've been taught to pallet it because they're not a Christian nation. Like it or not, we're a Christian nation. Therefore, that's why we're under such attack. If this COVID thing took off under some president and Italy was the leading catalyst of the charge, no one would listen. It'd be irrelevant. It'd be critical. Speaking of critical spirits, and here I go, but, you know, listening to Biden, I mean, folks, you talk about disingenuous and bad-hearted. I'm sorry. Biden is oblivious. He's definitely, I'm saying dementia. I'm going to step out on a limb there. But he's saying, well, if Trump would have, according to such and such agency, if Trump would have acted on the COVID situation a week earlier, 36,000 lives would be saved. What? You know, you could say that all day long. You could say, you know, if Trump had a soothsayer, a really good one, like Pharaoh had, he would have known COVID was coming and he could have went and stomped it out before it even started. I mean, come on. He did a very good job. But what Trump's up to now is very interesting. We're heading into an election situation, as you're just aware. And we have so much going on. FISA bill renewal. If you're not familiar, the FISA court is this crazy court which authorizes our people to spy on foreign officials who are in our country in order to protect the country and so on and so forth. Okay? So the FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. We have judges there. It's called the United States Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISC, also called the FISA Court. Remember when Obama wouldn't call them ISIS, he called them, he had some other name, because it was more Islamically appropriate because he was Islamic. So he liked to play with the acronyms on different things. So the FISA Court started under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 78. 1978. It was made to oversee, you know, people's requests, desires, maybe even needs, people being high-ranking law enforcement officials of the United States government, because they had to survey warrants, had to get surveillance warrants against foreign spies inside of the United States. And the problem is, these people, well, under our, on our soil and under our umbrella, they're covered by our constitutional protections of freedom. So to get this done, we had that, and then we would mask anyone they were communicating with that was an American citizen. And then they have the good old unmasking law where you're like, hey, you know, I'm hearing this American talking to this Russian official, and I want to know who it is. Please unmask it, and you've got to be high-ranking and have a good reason, and so on and so forth. And then there's 18 requests for the unmasking of Flynn, who they went after. I'm talking, folks, Donald Trump's being inaugurated January 18th of 2017, and that's January 18th. Of 2017, okay? November 6th of 2016, my dad's birthday when he was around, Donald Trump was the new elected official president. Obama, symbolically after that, that's when they call it the lame duck session, per se. Obama holds the office from November 6th until Inauguration Day. Why was he and his staff and, you know, everyone on January 8th, 10 days before Trump's inauguration, why are they unmasking Flynn's name? 18 different people requested it. Well, you find out later, General Flynn clashed with Obama on his theory that ISIS was on the run. They were the JV squad, as he said. They're weak. Nobodies. Well, you know what? Obama not only stepped back and just let them build and used incredible amounts of our financial resources to pay back some of the money, the $500 million that was donated to his campaign out of the Gaza Solicitation Center. Fact. He stepped back and let them build up. You know, it's reminds me of insects getting in your house, flies or worse, cockroaches. Not killing them when they start, just letting them go on purpose. And this was after they broke treaty, yes, treaty agreement with Gaddafi to fight with al-Qaeda and ISIS and stand behind the U.S. government, our position against terrorism. He was doing a good job. That's why he couldn't believe what was happening to him when Hillary allowed it. After that, Benghazi, Libya, we were transporting weapons. We had 61 CIA agents at the annex in Benghazi on the day that Smith, but I don't think that's right. The ambassador that was killed. They wouldn't come to his rescue because they were circumventing all of the weapons, the American weapons that we had given to Gaddafi. They were circumventing him to Syria. Well, to the quote, freedom fighters, right? Well, I don't know if you remember after that. You know, we're having some trouble discerning between the good guys and the bad guys. Gee, imagine that. Well, around the time that Ambassador Stevens, I think, yeah. Around that time, he's being brutally murdered and burned and, you know, you name it. They're sending all these missiles and all this heavy artillery and stuff from Libya up to Syria, which was the harbinger of ISIS, of the bad guys. That's how they all ended up with U.S. weaponry and artillery and ammunition that they said, well, they must have got it, the Obama administration. A lot of great truths came out of that place. They must have got it when we left Iraq. We must have just abandoned all of our weapons and left. Yeah, that's what the U.S. does. I've heard generals, plural, say, we don't do that. We're not that dumb. Duh. And then General Flynn was totally opposed to Obama's campaign that ISIS was on the run as he's trying to build them up. Why would someone want to do that? Anti-American. In his mind, he's not anti-American. He's got friends. George Soros, Bill Gates, all these guys. They don't love America. They don't like it. They love power. They love globalism. Everyone's their friend. They don't care, they think. They don't care about the security of our soil. because they are the elite. And they get rich and they chum around with these super highfalutin powerful individuals. And it feels pretty darn good. And they're special. So no matter whatever happens, Hillary's a classic. They're always going to be the elite. They're going to be raking in the profit on everything that goes on around us. They're the puppet masters. You know? And so they're essentially, they're out of touch, to put it very lightly. So the FISA bill renewal comes up here recently. The House passes it, you know, 80 to 16. By the way, proxy vote. That means they're voting from home. Absolutely unconstitutional. Absolutely unprecedented. Sends it to the Senate. Good old Senate. Well, actually, I'm sorry. The 80-16 was the Senate. The House, I don't remember. But it was a massive majority. Just like the Patriot Act. These are the most destructive acts ever written. I mean, just you know, it's like you have the Constitution of the United States. Incredible life is lost. Okay? Memorial Day is a great day to celebrate that. There's only one problem. When you count the number of people who died in the service of the military of the United States of America, individuals at that time, the George Washington era and so on, they're not counted. We don't even count Civil War. Okay? We don't even count the Civil War. But the amount of people who've lost their lives in this nation so that you and I can have freedom are pretty astounding. So, and what I, you know, a quick jump back and jump forward when I was talking about the individual who said Trump, you know, used his strategy to lure out the bad guys. He took out the head of Al-Qaeda. Right before that, and we, you know, the media gave us little coverage on that because they'd already burnt the Soleimani story the wrong way and made Trump look so bad. I mean, can you imagine that? The head of the Iranian Defense Ministry, probably one of the more evil men on earth, overseeing. Can you imagine what he's overseeing? I mean, you know what those people do to people? It is disgusting. If you're not sure, do a little research and you will be appalled what a human being can do. I mean, it's just, ugh, I don't even want to go there. It's terrible. It's an extension. When God says, if you mock an individual for the way he's made, you are mocking God, his maker, okay? When you abuse one of God's creation, one of his people, and heinously do so, you're abusing God, as you do to the least of these, okay? That's the point of Christ. The way you treat people is the way you're treating God and Christ. Remember that. And always remember, the way you behave to your closest friends and relatives is your character. Don't lie thinking you can go to Walmart and shake hands and smile or Home Depot and make everybody love you, but you go home and beat your wife or whatever it is. I don't know. Misabuse your kids, whatever it is. Don't lie to yourself. That's your character. In whole. It's a representation. So the way we treat others is the way we're representing Christ. Why do you think Christ said, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you show love for one another? Love. That's what's unique. There's nothing unique about having an anger problem. There's nothing unique about wanting to hurt people and being damaging and, you know, vitriolic and hateful and violent. I mean, that's just living in the flesh. Which is essentially renouncing or rejecting the deeds of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, as we know, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there are no laws. So when we get to the, I bounce back to that. So we took out the head of Al-Qaeda and got no coverage at all. So Trump, not so foolish. He's coming out now with comments. People are flipping out. What? You know, he's talking about, we need to regulate, he says. We need to regulate social media. I'm reading this today. Well, my first response is, man, you are kind of foolish. And then I'm like, or is he? You know, there's a lot of that. The left, you'll find the left constantly saying, well, you know, they'll make false accusations. One of the Ten Commandments you're not supposed to do. And once the truth comes out, they'll say, well, at least it generated a conversation. Okay. Well, Trump's come out with some stuff that's interesting. He's got Crazy Joe Scarborough and his wife Mika on MSDNC or whatever the channel is, just trashing on him constantly. Apparently, years back, and you know, Trump's a New Yorker and he's on the inside. Apparently, one of their staffers had a mysterious fall where she hit her head and died. Because of who Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are and their clout, the coroner ruled that she must have had an undiagnosed heart condition that made her pass out and bump her head and die. Undiagnosed heart condition. No evidence thereof. But off it goes. Well, Trump, he's in inner circles. Do not be fooled. Trump has way more information than you or I. As the President of the United States, the head of Intel, I'd hope so. He came out and tweeted, how come nobody's ever looked into this on them? Must be a reason that sparked that. People think he's just reckless and crazy and foolish. I mean, why? It's, you know, the Dunning and Kruger effect. It's a representation of cognitive inability. People who aren't too bright automatically assume they're a lot smarter than they are, number one. Number two, they can't comprehend those who are bright or intelligent or high IQ, and so they assume that those who are bright are not. And the other flip side of the Dunning and Kruger effect, this is documented, hardcore documented psychological science, is those who are bright or intelligent automatically assume those who aren't are much more intelligent than they are. So that, there goes the problem. So you got the average public who now, USA Today writes articles at the fifth grade level that can be read in 3 minutes or less, because that's their audience now, called America, sadly. They read these tweets from Trump and say, what a crazy man, he's a nut, assuming that he knows the same they do. I've seen it in business over the years. I say the people, fools, if you will, assume if they don't know something, they assume you don't know. If they don't know what something's for, they assume you don't know what it's for. And then, you know, you'll get those people that'll throw away important equipment and important information because it doesn't mean anything to them. They don't know. That's one of the dilemmas of this nation. This nation that used to teach people how to think, not what to think. You look at the writings of our early founders all the way up through the turn of the century. Amazing. Brilliant, phenomenal, incredible, high expectations, beautiful penmanship. There's so much to be said about writing by hand and what it does to your mental capacity, the connection, the link of language, and so on and so forth in the creation of God. Electronics and technology is taking that away drastically and rapidly so that they can more easily and better control us. So we've got Trump threatening an executive order to regulate social media. Sounds crazy? Yeah, it is. But guess what? It creates the conversation. The bias is tremendous. It's absolutely out of control. Twitter, over the weekend, did a false fact check on Trump. when Trump was stating that mail-in ballots, I mean, folks, this whole COVID thing is now proving to be the biggest scam ever. Left-wing media is doing everything to block all the statistics. It's ridiculous, okay? Absolutely ridiculous. So they're trying to use it to use mail-in voting. So Twitter fact checks. I mean, Trump's got all the details. Anyone who does research knows mail-in voting is the highest fraud rate of all. Obviously, there's no verification. Why would the left go, nuh-uh? No, it's great. It's wonderful. And why would the left always be like, no, we can't have voter ID laws. That's discriminatory against people who can't have an identification. There's a thousand ways around that, folks. Don't buy into that lie at all. Yeah, you have a right to vote in this country, but you have a right to vote, not anyone. I've been told on more than one occasion, but I was told clearly on one occasion by an immigrant who hadn't officially immigrated, a green card individual, that the first thing I won't say what nationality, they learn when they get here is to vote. When Obama got into office, the great big scandal was the Acorn Organization out of Chicago, picking people up in buses and having them vote 14 to 23 times. Minorities, giving them, of course, they're the most liberal, they tell them how to vote, giving them a $50 gift card for each time they pull the lever at a different polling station. Like I said, one gal had 23 hits. She said she made $1,400 that day. So they shut down Acorn, opened up a new organization. Project Veritas does all the undercover photography and video reporting of these people. You know, the corruption is rampant in every crazy organization you can imagine. Planned Parenthood and all this stuff, it's filled with fools. So don't be fooled on that line. Coronavirus propaganda has mimicked war propaganda in a huge way. So when we look at, like, in the period leading up to, like, the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, the Bush administration and its media accomplices waged a relentless propaganda campaign to win political support for what turned out to be one of the most disastrous foreign policy mistakes in our history. So now, what, two decades later, with literally, I think, a million dead Iraqis and thousands, tens of thousands of dead American soldiers, we're still paying for that lovely mistake of going into Iraq. Anyone who knows the war and military says it was wrong and bad. And we were duped. False flag events and so on. Our history's full of it. Vice President Dick Cheney, Attorney General John Ashcroft, Assistant Attorney General, you remember, I don't know, John Yoo. Then we had Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. All these people were members of this People for a New American Century. They said we needed a new Pearl Harbor-style event to basically take over the world and militarize the world from an American perspective and put all these clamps on people and gain control and surveillance. I mean, this is a fact. They were all behind this propaganda. 9/11 has its own stories that are unbelievable. So, I mean, basically, all these guys were behind the propaganda, which I guess we can define as purposeful use of information and misinformation to manipulate the public opinion in favor of state action. Iraq and its president Saddam Hussein were the ostensible focus, but the ultimate goal was to make the case for a broader and open-ended war on terror. So they created a narrative and they used a melange of half-truths, faintly plausible fabrications, and a lot of lies. And I wrote some down here. Iraq and the nefarious Saddam Hussein were behind, i.e. backing the Saudi terrorists responsible for 9/11 attacks. They claimed Saddam was behind it. Hussein and his government were stockpiling yellow cake uranium in an effort to develop nuclear capabilities, weapons of mass destruction. Hussein was connected with al-Qaeda. This is propaganda. Iran was lurking in the background as a state sponsor of terrorism, coordinating and facilitating attacks against the U.S. in coordination with Hamas. We had the Hezbollah and al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups working against the U.S. across the Middle East in some kind of murky but coordinated effort. We were told we have to fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. You remember that? The Iraqis would welcome our troops, they told us, as liberators, and so forth and so on. So the propaganda worked in the most meaningful sense. Congress voted nearly 3-1 in favor of military action against Iraq, and we have all these Gallup polls. And so tragically, the American people never placed the burden of proof with the war cheerleaders to justify their what has proven to be an absolutely crazed effort to remake the Middle East. Can you imagine? 4,000-year holy war. Let's join the club. Let's jump into the largest hornet's nest on planet Earth. You ain't getting out of that one. So what will hindsight make clear about our reaction to this COVID-19 propaganda? Will we regret shutting down the economy, as we should? As we should regret invading Iraq? So the cast of characters here is different. We got Trump desperately seeking the wartime president status. We got the old Dr. Anthony Fauci. Epidemiologist Neil Ferguson, state governors such as Cuomo, Whitmer, and Newsom. I love Whitmer this weekend, who shut down the whole state, won't let anybody breathe, was telling you you can only go shopping for groceries once a week, telling you what kind of groceries you can have, and her husband goes and tries to get his boat on a Memorial Day at the lake. They said no, and he said, I am the husband of the governor. Well, sorry, sir, but the governor, your wife, is the reason you can't pull your boat out. That went over like a lead balloon. And you got Gavin Newsom in California, who's nuttier than a fruitcake and eating it up. And you've got all the media acolytes, which are just ramming this new normal down our throat. Like the Iraq war architects, they use COVID-19 as justification to advance their pre-existing agenda. That's what's important. This isn't all random. This is all pre-planned. Greater state control is their desire over our lives and our economy. It's always the progress. 9/11, you know, mass shooting. Where'd all the mass shootings go with COVID? No more mass shootings. Where'd they go? Does that make you wonder? Think about that. Well, maybe they're not getting coverage. No, there's a lot more to it than you think. That's another story for another day. So, because too many Americans remain stubbornly attached to the old normal, a propaganda campaign is required. So we're faced with a blizzard of new facts every day, most of which turn out to be mildly true at best, okay? Propaganda. That's a little, it's supposed to be a lot of truth with a little bit of lie. Our media's propaganda is some truth with a lot of lie. It's extremely dubious and false. I mean, they're not afraid. They put out fake information so fast, and their retractions are so irrelevant, no one cares. Let's pray to God they've lost credibility, because they're nuts. If they have the traction that they claim to have, we are on a bad path, folks. So let's talk about some of their propaganda. The virus aerosolizes and floats around, so we all need to be 6 feet apart. Well, why not 20 feet? Why not a mile? I mean, it floats in the air, right? And the virus lives on surfaces everywhere for days. And asymptomatic people can spread it unknowingly. This is a progression of garbage that comes out because they're like, hey, there's tons of these people that are asymptomatic. Oh, no, they're super spreaders. Now they're saying masks are going to be super spreaders because people don't clean them daily and they're not using the right kind. And so antibodies may or may not develop naturally to this disease. You may get sick and you have to be treated and you're going to get it again. Your antibodies won't build. What? That's not science. People may become infected more than once. That's the big one. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Got the big fall comeback just in time for the election. And they say young, healthy people are at great risk, not only themselves, but they pose a tremendous risk to their elderly family members. So we can't let young people run around. They're super spreaders. How about thin, permeable paper masks? Somehow prevent microscopic viral spores from being inhaled or exhaled towards others. And all of a sudden, people are safer inside. And here's another one. The rate of new infected cases in the first few weeks of the virus reaching America would continue and begin to grow exponentially, predicting millions and millions of deaths. Social distancing and quarantines save lives. Testing. By the way, folks, have you seen the statistics? States that didn't of same sizes. Funny, states that didn't panic and freak out have way lower deaths. Why? Because they're not drinking the Kool-Aid and reporting a whole bunch of deaths falsely as COVID, because that's what we got, is a whole slew of it. And by the way, I don't know if you've, seen the recent news, but the recent news is basically simple. And it says clearly, I'll read it to you right here. CDC confirms extremely low death rate from COVID, much lower than expected. Of course, I'm trying to get it up on my telly, which doesn't want to cooperate. Probably, to be honest with you, been pulled down by Google. That's probably what we got going on here right now, and I kid you not. I kid you not. Oh, boy. Okay, so what we got, so they say people are safer inside. The new infected cases in the first few weeks were going to grow exponentially. Social distancing and quarantine saves lives. Testing is the key. But what if an individual visits a crowded grocery an hour before his or hour after testing negative? So it's okay to pile up in the grocery stores and Walmart and all that, but you can't go to church. And now they have us, the second wave of infections is nigh. And our personal and work lives cannot continue without a vaccine, which, by the way, could be 2 years out, but maybe not. We have a guy, a superhero named Bill Gates, who's right on top of it all. So much of this is, it's been malarkey. It's all been proven not true. Intended. Never intended to be true, just intended to control, to influence public behavior and opinions. And again, the overwhelming burden of proof should lie squarely with those advocating the lockdown of society. You're talking about stripping away our constitutional rights. These people are willing to risk a far greater than a Great Depression modern day in response to a simple virus. How much damage will the lockdown cause? Economics aside, the sheer toll of the self-inflicted wound is a matter, what will historians say? Who knows? The victors write the history, they say. Who's the victor? That toll includes all the things Americans would have done without the shutdown in their personal and professional lives, which represents a diminution of life itself. You can't even measure that or put it in numerical terms. By the same token, how do we measure the blood and treasure that was lost in Iraq? How much PTSD will soldiers suffer? How many billions of dollars in future VA medical care is going to be required? How many children will grow up without fathers? How many millions of lives are forever shattered in that cobbled together political artifice in the Middle East? Propaganda kills, but it also works. Politicians of all stripes will benefit from the coronavirus. The American people will suffer. Perversely, one of the worst COVID propagandists, Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, the worst, yesterday rang the bell as the New York Stock Exchange reopened to floor trading. That was a few days ago, but he now admits the models were wrong and that his lockdown did nothing to prevent the entire state from suffering the highest per capita deaths from COVID. So we're still like the architects of the Iraq war. He belongs on a criminal docket. But thanks to propaganda, he's hailed as now being presidential. You get it? COVID confirmed. CDC confirms extremely low COVID-19 death rate. Independently confirms recent research by Stanford University. Oh, gee, that study was true? I read that a while ago. That COVID-19 has an extremely low death rate. This exposes the technocrat hysteria as being man-made and not based on any real verifiable data. Okay, here it is. I'm running out of time again. Imagine that. 0.004%. Current best estimate. It's a joke, folks. We can't give it up. 3.4% was the WHO's predictions, and I don't have time to go through the rest. We've been lied to, deceived, and our rights have been stolen. Get them back. We need to get back out there and get the economy running again. This is all political, and it's atheistic, and it's basically socialistic propaganda, and we're being taken over. I hope you can see the truth. Do not buy the lie, folks. There's a lot more data I didn't have time to cover. Thank you for tuning in again. God bless you. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.